Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts, a radio ministry. I'm sorry, I have a candy in my mouth. My throat is so dry. So forgive me in advance. We have been studying from Tara Rye's Bible study, Tell It Well, and she storied two sessions ago.
It would have been July 2nd.
July 2nd. The chapter 11 from the book of Acts.
Yay.
Just talking about Peter and his response. And how do we respond when we're being attacked? Because the attack is on for the children of God.
It is.
I know that we're all dealing with it. If you are truly walking in the Spirit, you are being attacked.
Yeah. And it's crazy where it comes from.
In the church and out of the church.
Yeah. You know, like I began this series off, I said that this particular chapter is about being an outsider and becoming an insider. And I just, for some, by way of reflection, getting us back into it, I want you to visualize with me, again, just to encapsulate. Peter was in a trance. He heard from, he saw that, this vision. And in the vision, he realized that he wasn't to judge anything that God says is clean. And, and called unclean. Goes, shares, Cornelius and all the clan come to know Christ. Comes back, and then all of a sudden this question, how dare you go and eat with the Gentiles? That was the question. I want you to imagine what it was like for Peter and the delight of the outcome of what happened with Cornelius, what it felt like to see a whole house filled with people that he had brought in to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to fall. Imagine the impact and the fruit of seeing God work. Now, I want you to imagine his surprise as he walks into town. He didn't go off to other places. It doesn't say that he went off to this place or to that place to continue. He immediately went back to his home to share what God had done. And as he walks in, a group of brothers come up and they begin to question him about what he did. Imagine what he felt. I mean, high, high, low, low. And he just was so faithful in it. The end of the chapter, as he was doing it, he began, he says that I want to read verse 18. Would you just, Sabrina, why don't you go ahead and you read verse 18 for us. Do you mind?
Absolutely. Chapter 11. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance into life.
Okay, so from attack to they can't object, and if you want to hear about how he went through the process, that would have been on July 9th, recording the things that we worked through. And so now what happens is that I want us to examine how it's a responsibility to tell. It's not an option for us to stand back and watch and wait. I mean, honestly, nowhere in Jesus saying, you will be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world, does he say watch and wait. He says go. Right. He says go.
Yes.
And that is very convicting for me, because we have a responsibility as we encounter our world to influence our world where we're at, wherever our journey may take us. So in a given day, the gym, the hair salon, the getting your nails done. I mean, I'm nailing Sabrina. She's over here laughing because we're talking her schedule. My world of influence is a lot smaller because I'm a writer. I don't get out and interact with people. I really don't.
Of your animals.
Yeah, my animals. I witnessed my animals. God help me. I didn't say that. Anyhow, my world of influence during the week is very small because I'm at home. I'm a writer. I write full time. And so I don't get to interact with a lot of people, but I'm very deliberate and intentional at the places that I go. Of all things, Walmart. I have special clerks that are my clerks. I do. And then I also, because I'm a writer, I have a lot of connections through Facebook. And I have done a lot of witnessing through Facebook and youth ministry that I have, hanging out with the youth, constantly discipling there because of my kids' interactions with them. But God has used right recently in the last few months where I've watched someone come to know the Lord through Facebook. And just crazy how it, whatever it is, wherever we're at, the responsibility to be an influencer mm-hmm. for the call of Christ. And the crazy thing is on the one with the Facebook, sharing with my husband, because the dialogue was happening between me and a person that's like 20 years younger than me, but was a male, and wanted my husband to be aware of the conversations because it was a person that was the opposite sex. And in the dialogue, you can see when he comes to know the Lord, and he hadn't yet told me he came to know the Lord. It was absolutely amazing, the transformation we saw, because you could hear in the dialogue, he didn't get it, didn't get it, didn't get it. And then like the next time it came through, I'm like, he did. Read this. And, you know, and we were like blown away. It's like, this person knows the Lord. And so I wrote and asked, and then sure enough, he had. He just hadn't spoken it out loud yet.
Wow.
You know, we are called to be influencers. We are responsible Absolutely. With the gift to give the gospel. We are told to go and tell. And so as this is happening, it then takes a break in the chapter, and it begins to tell us what happens and how the church continues the spread. And it says in verse 19, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. So there was a group that they felt very strongly a calling towards the Jewish nation. And then it goes in and it tells us, but some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch, and they began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them of the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Wherever we're at, that Yes. responsibility is ours. And when I was at the Open Door Mission, I had shared last week that we just did a women's event at the Open Door Mission, and I storied a summary of the Bible. And it's crazy. It takes me about 43 to 46 minutes to do what God's put on my heart to do. And there's something about when you have a group, certain groups can really affect the story. I can't even explain that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I have a basic outline, but the story changes and how I present it based on the group. And as I was speaking the story of what God has done from creation to revelation, I looked out, and at one point, I know I saw at least 5 to 7 women that faces were just covered as they were bawling, as they are hearing God's truth for the first time, I think, for some of them. Some of them, I think it was probably because they've heard it, but they had forgotten. But for some of them, I think it was very much for the first time. And they were just weeping as they are hearing God's word. The power of the truth of the gospel, it gets deep. It digs deep. It does not allow room for mediocrity. Either you are for it or you are against it. And watching the response of the women, it totally blessed me, and it made me feel that I was better equipped to story as I was connecting with their hearts. Mm. My prayer was to connect with their hearts. And following through with that responsibility, and I had taken along 6 DVDs that we have recorded at another time when I had storied the Bible. And we did a drawing, and 6 different women got a copy. And as soon as the conference was over, one of them came to me, and she had a CD player. And she goes, I can't get it to work. I can't get it to work. And I go, oh, it's a DVD, not a CD. But, I mean, the conference ended at 2, and at 2:05, she was in there when we were cleaning up because she went to listen to it again.
Oh, wow.
And the point of me saying that is, people are hungry.
Yes.
Hungry to hear God's word. Hungry to hear how God loves them. Hungry to hear that God has a plan for them. Hungry to know that God has sent a deliverer, a redeemer, the Messiah. Hungry to know that they can be set free from the sin of the flesh, the sin of the world, and anything that would entice them to darkness and evil. People are desperate for the body of Christ to be real about God and his truth and his word. They got it back then. They didn't let anything stop them. Do you understand? It was because of persecution they fled their homes. Right.
Right.
These were not people that were going to their hometown. They were fleeing their homes. They had nothing but what they had with them. And yet, instead of going into these places and whining and complaining about, we got kicked out of our hometown because, you know, this Jesus thing, they went to these places proclaiming the gospel so that people could come to know the Lord. Do we have that same sense of responsibility? Do we have that same sense of passion for the lost? Do we have that same vision that each person is created in the image of God and he does not call anyone unclean? Because when we understand the full image that we are created in the image of God, we will never look at another man or woman or child with eyes that say they're not worthy. Eyes of, or a heart that says, I'm not going to share with them. I mean, that's pretty tough. I mean, absolutely. I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking that. So as this is happening, it says in scripture, and I think it's verse 21, yeah, that a great number of people come to know the Lord as the scattering is trickling. It's so great that the church, as it comes to their ears in Jerusalem, they're like, okay, there's a movement of God happening. We need to see what's going on. They don't leave it unattended. They need to go and check it out. And so who do they call up to do it? Well, of course, Barnabas, the one who is the son of encouragement. And they send Barnabas out. And as Barnabas goes, the scripture tells us when he arrived, he saw the evidence of God's grace. And he was glad and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. Now, let's break that one down. Let's think about this one, Serena. This is good. Okay. The evidence and grace of God at work. The evidence and grace of God. He saw that the people were glad. He saw the joy, essentially, is what that's saying. He saw that the people were encouraged. They were lifted because he is the lifter of our head. He is the one that takes the yoke off our back. We don't have to carry the burden. He saw the encouragement was happening. He saw that the people needed to remain faithful to what God has done. And so he encourages them to motivate them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, how can we bring and be an agent of grace of God to encourage people to be in joy and gladness, to be encouraged and to be motivated to continue what God has done? What are some ways we can do that right now in our community?
Oh, there's so many ways. There's so many ways. Just by loving them, calling them, taking meals. I've taken a couple of meals and I don't like to cook, but
I mean, Panera works. I did that just the other day.
But just little things like that, to know that you're thought of, to be cared for, to be a listening ear, to be a sound word of wisdom.
It's so important. You know, that evidence of God's grace is there, and it's just, you can see it. Mm-hmm. You can see it. And you know, when you see that peace, it resonates. And Barnabas walked in and he could see, this is God.
That's right.
This is God.
Undeniable.
It's God to the Jews and it's God to the Gentiles. And he's like, press on, brothers. Don't stop. Press on. He's like, this is good stuff. And so as he was watching how this happens, we have to find ways to encourage one another, mm-hmm. to remain faithful to what the grace of God is doing in our lives. And
because it's so easy to ignore. It's so easy to ignore and just say, you know, that's their path. They're going to choose that. Let them do it. I got to just take care of me and my own. Yeah. It's so easy to do that. And God's like, that's not what I've called you to do. God is love.
Yeah.
To walk in love when people are not being lovable is only his grace can you do that.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. 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 You're kind of reminding me of some areas. I've got some sin God's been working on me in.
Just teaching to myself, girl.
Evidence of God's grace, right?
Yes.
His grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's all-knowing, all-seeing. He is everywhere, and he interacts. And we just need to find ways to encourage one another. And an example in my life, I have to have a field rep. And a field rep is a person that's supposed to be an expert in my field of whatever I'm going to write about. And but they have requirements and stipulations that it has to be somebody who has like the degree that you're doing, da da da. I mean, and there are no experts in the field of what I'm trying to combine, trying to put together. And but I've contacted Candace. I'm applying and seeing if Candace can be my field rep. She's the president CEO for Open Door Mission, because I'd like to write a Bible curriculum for missions, homeless shelters. And then I've been communicating with a man named J. O. Terry, and he was a former missionary, and he's been doing biblical storying all over the world for, I mean, my adulthood for certain. And when I write with him, he sends me the equivalent of, it was probably 3 pages, single space typed, of things that I need to study, research, know, recognize, work on, change. I mean, he is a person who I believe he's willing to invest this. I haven't flat out asked him, but I can't imagine him doing what he's doing if he didn't see it. Because he has seen God's grace in what I'm doing. He is doing everything he can to encourage me and to motivate me in what God has given me to do in the grace of who he is and what he wants me to do. And that is the most humbling thing in the whole wide world, when someone comes to you and becomes your agent of grace. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling what God can accomplish through a vessel that says, I'm going to encourage your heart. Now, what do you think those churches felt like when Barnabas showed up and they're all, oh, it's the son of encouragement. He's here. They sent him all the way from Jerusalem.
They felt special.
Boy, you know they did. And as he's walking around, don't you know they wanted to share and say, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you've got to come here, and you've got to, I'm getting goosebumps, and you got to meet so-and-so, and so-and-so, this person, and this person. And as he is walking and seeing God's hand, he says, don't stop what you're doing.
As well.
Be encouraged. I see your joy. Motivate each other and stay faithful to what God has put upon your heart, and don't veer from it. It was a blessing of what he did. How can we, as we are responsible with our world of influence to give the gospel, but also become the one that's the blessing to encourage those to stay motivated with what God has given them? That's what we have to ask ourselves today. How are you responsible in giving the gospel? And then how are you being responsible encouraging those that have and have received it? When we do that, we can be a blessing to those around us in an amazing way. We're so glad that you have been listening to Cultivating Hearts. I would love to hear from you, and I just wanted to share with you that the Bible study, Tell It Well, it is available at Amazon.com, and if you have any questions, you can email me at tararye.com. God bless.